I want to read a verse in the Old Testament from the prophet Hosea, chapter 10. That's page 1092 in this Bible. And just part of verse 12, Hosea 10, part of verse 12. For it is time to seek Jehovah. It is time to seek Jehovah. Then a verse in the New Testament, John's Gospel in chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 25. And by the cross of Jesus stood his mother and the sister of his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. And then finally, just a little verse in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 4. And great crowds were coming together, and those who were coming to him, that's to Jesus, out of each city, he spoke by parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the way, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the heaven devoured it up. And other fell upon the rock. Having sprung up, it was dried up, because it had not moisture. His disciples, verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, what may this parable be? And he said to them, to you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. But the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are those who hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. But those upon the rock, those who when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a time, and in time of trouble, they fall away. I don't know about you, but I find it amazing again that we've almost at the end of yet another year. 2020 only has a few more days left to run, if God wills. I've been thinking, you know, of the passing of time. Passing of time. Just goes so quick, doesn't it? Now, we're all familiar, I'm sure, with the hourglass timer. The vessel, you know, that cone-shaped on the bottom and a narrow bit in the middle with a hole in it and the same mirror image of the bottom vessel on top. And the sand or the grains are in the timer. As the timer's turned over, the grains pass through from the top to the bottom. And as the level goes down in the top, so it goes up in the bottom. And however long that time is meant to be for, the grains go down bit by bit, grain by grain, until eventually the last grain passes through. The time's up, it's finished. However long that time may be. I want to think about that, you know, in relation to your life. Your life is like that timer in many ways. You begin your life, the grains are full at the top, aren't they? And as time goes on, the grains pass through. And that level in the top gets lower and lower and lower. And there comes a moment, you know, when that last grain will pass through for every one of us. For it's appointed unto men once to die. Our lives are finite. We only have so long to live, you know. Solemn thought, isn't it? And none of us knows how much sand is in that top of that vessel. You know, it's not just old people that die. Solemn thought, isn't it? Poet says, you know, he says, time was. It's past. Cannot be recalled. Time is. Employ the portion small. Time future is not and may never be. Time now. Time now is the time for thee. Hence I read this verse in Hosea's prophecy in the Old Testament. It is time to seek the Lord. Now. Bible says that, do you know, in Corinthians? Now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You cannot be promised another moment of time on this earth. That's what makes tonight in the gospel so urgent. You know, one of the things that was said quite a lot this year is that people have had to put their lives on hold. I know what people mean. I mean, you know, the things that persons had planned to do and hoped to do, well, they haven't been able to do them. So they've put them off for a while, hopefully for a future day. But you know, nobody can put their lives on hold. Nobody can. Whether you like it or not, you come to the end of this year, we're all another year older. And we're all another year closer to eternity. How solemn that makes the gospel preaching, doesn't it? You can't put your life on hold. Time is passing. It's going and you can't get it back. How solemn then, isn't it? The passing of time. That's what makes this gospel preaching urgent tonight. Is that you have to do with God. And you have to do with God in the time of your lifetime here. It's a short time. But you know, in that short period of our life, our eternal future is decided. Tonight, you know, you can have your eternal future decided. You can decide, have it decided, you know, for heaven. The opportunity is open to whosoever will. Why? Because God has made provision for the sinner. It's time to seek the Lord. Wonderful thing, you know, that if you seek God tonight, if you seek the Saviour, the wonderful thing is that you will find that the Saviour is seeking you. Lovely that is, you know. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's me. That's you, my friend. You know, the story is told, and I know I've told it before. I apologise for those that have heard it before. About a young man who was brought up in a Christian household of very well-off parents. But you know, he got fed up with the restraints of his home. And he kicked over the traces and decided he was going to go off and enjoy himself. This was in America. And this young man went off and enjoyed his pleasures for a while. But you know, he found out after a time that it didn't last very long. His money ran out. His pleasures ran out. And he found himself a tramp, you know, on the streets of the cities of America. Destitute. Begging for a penny or something to eat. You know, that father loved that son dearly. And he spent his time, you know, going around the cities of America searching for his son. There was one day he was in a city. He'd been called there for a meeting of some sort. And as he was walking along the road, this tramp came up to him and said, "Sir, can you spare me a dime? Can you spare me a dime?" Something about the voice of that young man attracted the father's attention. And he looked through the beard and the hair and the rags and everything else. And he said, "Is that you, my son?" And so it was, you know. There was his son, you know, begging for him for a penny. And he said to him, he said, "My son." He said, "There you are asking me for a dime when I've come with everything to give you everything that I ever possess." And you know what a picture that is of the heart of God tonight in the gospel. You know, he's seeking sinners tonight. Lost, helpless, hopeless sinners. And he wants to give you everything in his heart that you might be blessed. That's the God I know. That's the God, you know, you can come to know in the gospel tonight. A God who wants you to be saved. The God who wants to bless you for all eternity. Oh, may you come to find him in the glad tidings tonight. Well, I read in this passage in John chapter 19. Because there we find, you know, something that is utterly unchanged and untouched by the ravages of time. Absolutely untouched. And what is it? It's the cross of Jesus. The cross of Christ. Stands, you know, at the dividing point of time. Everything in the past, you know, looked forward to the cross of Jesus. And everything since looks back to the cross of Jesus. For it's there, you know, that God did that mighty work where he could work out our salvation. And it stands too, you know, at the centre of eternity. It's the central point of the gospel. You know, God says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the glad tidings. It is God's power to salvation. And what's at the centre of the glad tidings? It's the cross of Jesus. 'Twas there my Saviour suffered, tasted death for me. There the work he finished that sets me ever free. What a Saviour. I want to take you then tonight to the cross of Jesus. Just read this incident here. Think of who was there, you know, at the cross. I'll tell you one person that was there. It was the devil himself. Solemn thought, you know. Think of those crowds. Away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him. Crucify him. The devil was there, you know, stirring up the hearts of men against the Son of God. Why? Here was a man who had been about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. His lifetime of absolute perfection, you know, demonstration of the heart of God as he brought in healing and blessing to everyone he came into contact with. Think of the blind receiving their sight. Think of the deaf healed. Those that were sick healed. You think of even the dead were raised by Jesus. Think of him going up to that bier and that city of Nain. Youth, I say to thee, arise, and the dead sat up. Marvellous power of Jesus, you know. And there he was at the cross. Wicked hands took him, nailed him to that cross. Why was he there? He was there, you know, to meet the penalty of sin and sins. Isaiah tells us he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep is dumb before her shearers. You know, you think of as they stretched Jesus out upon that cross, and they drove those nails through his hands and through his feet. There he was, unresisting, uncomplaining. No word of reproach fell from his lips. He was there, you know, why? He was there as the sacrifice, the offering, the one who took my place under the judgment of God and bore the penalty of my sins. That's why he was allowed to take, that's why he allowed them to take him and nail him to the cross, you know. Think of it. Think of who was there, Jesus, the Son of God. The one who'd come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, the one who showed forth the heart of God. Think of who was there. The only one who was qualified to take upon himself the penalty of my sins. That was Jesus, was at the cross. God was there. God was there. You know, God clothed that scene in darkness for 3 hours. Why? Why? The solemnity of that moment, you know, as God took the penalty of sin and sins and put it on Jesus and judged those sins in him in those 3 hours of darkness. God had to clothe it in darkness. Man couldn't intrude on such a holy scene. The holy, righteous, sin-hating God dealing with sin and sins in those 3 hours of darkness. What a mighty transaction. Oh, how wonderful the cross of Jesus is, you know. Think of who else was there. It tells us here of some that were standing by the cross. One of them was Mary of Magdala. It says of her, you know, that out of whom had been cast 7 demons. The completeness of her possession. She was completely possessed by demons. And she'd had a transaction with Jesus, and Jesus had set her free. And she loved him more than life itself. Jesus meant everything to her. She was going to be at the cross. Challenge to every one of us, isn't it? Do we stand by the cross of Jesus? It's the dividing point between the Christian and the world, you know. Mary loved Jesus. She was going to be there. What else was at the cross, my friend? I'll tell you what was there, the demonstration of divine love. Infinite love. Amen. Infinite righteousness. God's holiness. His claims of justice had to be met. There could be no forgiveness for the sinner unless the price of those sins was paid. And I couldn't pay them and you couldn't pay them. Jesus paid it. He paid the price in full. He went to that cross and bore that penalty. He bore that judgment. He shed his precious blood, you know. The soldier came and pierced his side. And out flowed blood and water. The evidence that his life was given up. My sins were there, you know. My sins were there. And God took them and he put them on Jesus. And Jesus bore them away and they've gone forever. Why? Because Jesus is risen from the grave. You know, the cross of Jesus still stands tonight, but he's not on it. Jesus was taken down from the cross. Placed in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Think of that. Why 3 days and three nights? Three is the number of adequate witness, you know. There's the absolute fact that Jesus went into death. He died. He really died. But he rose again the third day. Why? He raised again for our justification. Where is he now? You know, he's now in heaven. He rose from the grave. He was here for 50 days showing himself to his disciples. And then he ascended up into heaven. He was received up in glory, the scripture tells us. What about those sins of mine that were put on Jesus? They couldn't be in God's presence where Jesus is. They're gone forever. Hallelujah, you know. I love to think of that. My sins, they're gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my sins from me. And so that I can know what it is to come before God as a forgiven, justified sinner. Oh, how wonderful the glad tidings is. God has a righteous basis tonight in the gospel on which he can forgive our sins because Jesus has borne the penalty. I read in Luke's gospel. To challenge every one of us. You know, I think people have said about this year, there's never been a year like it. Well, they've never known a year like it. It's justifiably, you can understand people saying that. And I do think, my friend, that every one of us needs to realise that God is speaking. He's wanting to get your attention, my friend. Why? Because you need to be saved. You know, the whole world has been affected by this thing, hasn't it? By this virus. The whole world. Commerce, social, pleasure, everything. And the whole world has been affected by it. Has it had any effect on you? It's maybe affected your material life, your job perhaps, your health even, your finances, your relationships, your social life. It may have affected all those things. But what about your soul? What about your soul? Has it made you stop and think, what about eternity? What about that meeting that I have to have with God? Has it made you stop and think about that, you know? You have to meet God. The Bible tells us that every one of us shall stand before God. You know, when I stand before God, I can stand on the foundation of the finished work of Jesus and I know that I'm absolutely forgiven. What about you, my friend? Is that true for you? Do you know with absolute certainty that your sins are forgiven? That's why I read this parable in Luke, you know. I'm particularly thinking of the stony ground, the hard ground. The Lord uses this parable, you know, he says the word is spread. It's like the gospel going out, the word of God, God speaking. It's going out tonight and it's coming to you. What sort of ground is it going to fall into? This seed fell on this ground and it was rocky, it was hard. There may have been a slight scattering of earth upon it. And you know, maybe a bit of dampness came and a bit of warmth and the seed sprang up, came into a plant. But then you know, as soon as the sun came up in its burning heat, the plant collapsed and died. Why? Why? Because it had no root. It had no source of life. It had no reality. And that's what I want to get at tonight, my friend, in the gospel. We need to be real. Real in the glad tidings. You know, it's no good just everything being on the surface. We live in a very superficial world. Very superficial. So many things are just on the surface. Even society itself, you know, looks okay on the surface, but underneath, it's bubbling away with all sorts of unpleasant things. We need to be, you know, real in the gospel. We need, you know, to know the plough turning over the soil. I don't know if you've ever seen a farmer ploughing a field. I'm sure you have. But the plough goes in and it cuts right deep down and turns the soil right over. Gets right in there. And that's what we need today, you know. We need our consciences to be ploughed so that we might be convicted of the fact tonight that we are lost, hopeless, hell-deserving sinners, because that's what we are. How solemn, isn't it, to consider that? That's what we are before God. And we need, you know, our consciences to be affected in the gospel and our souls affected in the gospel. We need reality, conviction, certainty. You need to know, my friend, tonight that you've come by way of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance, you know, is a turnaround. You have to turn from your sins, all that's occupied you. Turn from your sins and accept, you know, the Saviour that God has provided in the Blessed Saviour. He's done everything that's necessary. He gave himself. You know, the wonder of the gospel is, as I said, that God is seeking sinners. He's seeking you. Think of that, you know. I want to challenge every one of us that's a believer tonight. God gave Jesus. God gave his Son. Jesus gave himself. He gave his own life. He came from heaven, came down into this earth, went to all the suffering and shame of Calvary for me and for you. What, my friend, have I and you given for him? If we come into a new year, perhaps it's time for a new start, you know. As I said, none of us should be unaffected by the events of this year. May it drive something home into our souls so that we might commit our hearts and our souls to the Saviour who's died for us and given himself for us. You know, the word is urgent tonight. The world, as we sang in our hymn, or we read in our hymn, to doom is passing. You know, think of that hourglass again. The history of this world, you know, has come right down and there's not long left to run. The hymn says, doesn't it, the sands of time are sinking. The sands of time are sinking. This world has not much time left to run. Very soon the Saviour is going to come from heaven and take every believer to go to be with himself. Amen. Wonderful moment. Archangel's voice, trump of God, and the great shout from heaven as Jesus comes to take us to be with himself. Solemn times will be left, you know. The church, the believers have all gone to heaven, every true believer. The Holy Spirit left this scene. And then this earth, you know, left. Man left to his own devices. Sin will run rampant. And there will be great powers that arise up. The beast and the Antichrist. These are things that are just around the corner, my friend. Solemn things for us to realise. You know, some of these things you might have thought as you read the book of Revelation were way out in the future. Well, I think, you know, the events of this year have made us realise that some things are pretty close. Freedoms that we might have thought were almost definitely assured to us have been taken away. It's a voice to us, surely, that the Lord is coming soon. And this world's history, you know, will soon come to an end. Now that moment is fast approaching. We need to have to do with God tonight. Today is the accepted time, the well-accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. May you have to do with God tonight. Know what it is to trust Jesus as your Saviour for a time and for eternity. Be absolutely secure. And make sure it's real in your soul for his name's sake.